I find it very difficult to actually meet anybody that hasn't seen Love Actually, let alone someone who hasn't seen it several times. Why do you think that is so?
Maybe because there are like six different stories in it. I forget now how many, but so there's always something that people can relate to. I think because Richard Curtis, as a writer and a director, you know, wears his heart very much on his sleeve. So, you know, you usually have to have a box of Kleenex around for one or other moments in his films. I don't know. It's a strange memory for us because we were making our little film in a house in northwest London, Emma and I and the kids, and you know, Colin Firth was off in Portugal, and other people were in different places, and then you watch this jigsaw puzzle put together when you see the final film. So I think the point about that film is I know people watch it a lot, and I know it's a kind of Christmas must for people. I think you have to ask them.
How many times have you watched Love Actually?
Just the once at the premiere, that's it. I can't stand watching myself on the screen. So, you know, once is enough.
What do you think of the TV roles that arising for, you know, I suppose the big Hollywood, big name stars, I suppose?
Well, I think if you get, you know, Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson doing a television series, then you'll better sit up and take notice. And, you know, Kevin Spacey and you know, the impact that something like Breaking Bad and Mad Men have had across the world. The good news is that those cable stations and cable networks are employing writers. And so we're not talking about, you know, bubblegum TV. This is writing of a very high order. So I'm like any actor, I hope, you know, driven by a script, and I'm only as good or as bad as the writing.
Talk us through, you know, obviously you've worked with her before as well. Tell us, you know, what was it like to catch up with Kate, work with her, and what do you mean by the trust?
Well, she is remarkable, and I think that this is one of her best performances ever. You trust the fact that she's going to come to the set having done a lot of homework and preparation, and, you know, this being a period piece, although hopefully when you watch it you kind of forget the period and it becomes, you know, a simple love story but with a very complicated background, and they all happen to be in period clothes. But she's done the homework. She knows exactly what the world is that she comes from, and that's complicated too because, of course, she's playing a character who couldn't possibly have existed, and that's in a way the point of the film, that there would never have been a woman with a job like that. You know, most of them, or certainly high-born ladies, would have been just there as kind of set decoration at the court of Louis XIV. But so she had to invent a lot of that background. But then when she comes on the set, it's there, it's inside her, it's part of her muscle memory, but she also knows how to let it go and just stand there and listen and respond, because she's playing somebody who in a way has to learn who she is on camera. So the other great gift you get from Kate is her openness and the fact that you can watch her thinking on screen, and going into the editing room, you can always cut to Kate listening because it will always have an energy.
No, fair enough. And another, I suppose, obvious one, but I'm going to throw it in there because, Alan, you know, I'm just curious. Do you think that Die Hard is the best action movie ever made?
I haven't watched many action movies, to be honest. But I, what I think about it is that maybe, in contrast with some others, it actually had a script, and it had interesting three-dimensional characters, and it had some wit, and it had some funny lines, as well as, it was before the days, it's so long ago now, I almost can hardly remember, but it was before the days of computer graphics, so, you know, everything had to be done for real.